We're going to get into God's Word. Are you ready for God's Word this morning? Man, I'm excited about it. You know, we had a great week, and we've done a lot of things, and here it is, back to school time. Can you believe it? Already back to school. Kids are going back. Man. So, the thing about back to school sometimes is it's almost like our second New Year's resolution time, isn't it? You know, even for us as adults, not only the kids, but adults, we find ourselves trying to get into this new routine, if you will, for the fall that's going to happen now that our kids are back in school. We got to find that new groove and that new routine. And maybe it might even be a time where you make a few more resolutions, if you will, or goals that you want to try to meet by the end of the year. But the thing about this time is that when we start setting goals and resolutions like this, most of the time they become a self-centered in nature, don't they? They become self-centered in nature. They're not bad things, you know, like, hey, you know, I want to lose a little bit of weight, or I want to eat healthy this year, or I want my house to stay cleaner than it has been, whatever it might be for you. But I do know that a lot of times our goals are more about us than anything else. And the real tragedy in this, though, is when it becomes more important about us than it is about God. And so, for example, so many people today, when it comes to God, they're trying to get God to do what they want to do, want him to do, rather than them trying to figure out what God wants to do in their life. And so it even becomes this self-centered thing, doesn't it, sometimes? And it's very self-centered. But we all tend to say things like, God bless me, God make me richer, God help me to be happier, God, give me what I want. And the problem is that whenever life doesn't go as we want it to, there's some people who end up and they begin to blame God for the things that are going wrong. And in other words, they might something, you know, like, hey, God, you know what? I tried that church thing. I even read my Bible two or three times and I still didn't get a better job. Or I didn't get healed, or the girl that I was trying to date, she's dating somebody else, and so I missed out on that. God, living for you didn't work those 2 weeks that I tried it, you know, and or however long, but you know, because God didn't do what we wanted him to do, we get mad at him sometimes. We get mad. And what's interesting to me is that people think that God exists for us when in reality we exist to serve and to honor him. That's the whole reason we're here, is to serve and honor him. And so we get it backwards. But, you know, we look at Jesus. In fact, whenever Jesus was inviting people to come and follow him, when he was doing that, he would say, whoever wants to be my disciple, he would tell him and said, look, you got to deny yourself and you got to pick up the cross and you got to follow me. And so if you're wanting to be Jesus's disciple, we have to understand that it's less about us and it's more about him. Amen. And so today, what I want to talk to us today about is being bold in our witness. You know, I want to talk to us about sharing our faith in Christ and being bold about it. In other words, instead of God, I want you to bless me and God take care of me and God make my life better, I want us to look at what it would look like if we started saying things like, God, use me to reach more people. God, help me to be bold in my witness. God, use me to serve people. And God, show me how to love people, even when it's uncomfortable for me. God, help me to use what I have, you know, so that I can be a blessing to others, even if I have to change the way I'm living. God, help me with these things. So instead of being self-centered and selfish, what we as followers of Jesus, we should strive to live this selfless life. By denying ourselves and saying, Jesus, we want what you want. I want to follow you. I want your will for my life. And that's what I want us to talk about today. And I want us to start with this big idea that I kind of came up with, and I want to share this with you. I hope that it's going to encourage you to share the love of Jesus in your life. And so we're talking about being bold in witness. And so today, I want to give you a little bit of context of the scripture before we get into it, of where we're at today. And so if you can imagine the disciples, these men that Jesus had called to be his disciples, and he said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And what Jesus had been doing for the last 3 years is training these men. He's been investing in their lives, if you will, and he's been teaching them what it means to know God and what it means to do God's will in their life. And so he's been investing in them. And through all this time, though, we got to see that Jesus, as he's talking to them, you know, whether they're walking by the way or they're sitting down at a meal, there's several times that Jesus, he's telling the guys, he's saying, hey, guys, you got to look. You need to remember this. The whole reason that we're doing this is because one day I'm going to lay my life down. And I'm gonna die, but on the third day, God's gonna raise me back from the dead. And you know, the disciples, they had such a difficult time with this when Jesus would tell them these things. And it's because they didn't understand. They didn't have the full context like we do today. And so when Jesus would talk like this, the disciples, they'd be like, no, Jesus, you can't do that. That can't be you. You don't have to die. And Jesus says, yes, you got to understand, I have to die. He said, you know, I have to die for the forgiveness of sins. That's why I came. He said, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the broken. You see, Jesus came for the sinners. And so Jesus, he went to the cross and he suffered this horrible death. And then we see that 3 days later, he rose just like he said that he would. And what do you think the disciples are doing? Do you think that they're down there, they're preaching really boldly? Oh, Jesus is coming back. He's going to be here any minute. He told us about this. We know that he'll be here just any minute. Do you think that's what they were doing? No, we're going to look in the Bible. We're going to find out in the book of John. He tells us exactly what they were doing. John chapter 20, verse 19, we'll see a different picture of what the disciples were doing. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. So here Jesus told him, he said, hey, man, I'm coming back. I'm going to die, but God's going to raise me. I'll be back. But what were they doing? Man, they were hiding behind locked doors because they were afraid of Jesus' enemies. And so my question this morning is why are we not more bold in our witness? I had to ask myself that question. And I believe that there's a lot of reasons that we're not bold in our witness. And one of those reasons is that we might be afraid that we don't know enough. You see, a lot of times we think, man, if I start sharing my faith, somebody might ask me a question and I'm not going to know the answer. And I'm going to be, oh, I don't know the answer to that. And so you don't begin to witness because you're afraid. Another reason might be is that we don't want to offend people. You see, we don't want to be that pushy person that offends people and that type of Christian, if you will. But in my opinion, almost every excuse that you and I come up with, the root of it is because we're afraid. We're afraid that we won't know enough. We're afraid that we're going to look silly. We're afraid that we're just not going to get it right. We're afraid. And so were the disciples. In our story, they were afraid, and they were behind locked doors because they were afraid of these Jewish leaders. Now, I totally and completely understand what they're thinking and how they're in this place. You see, because, you know, you might think because I'm a pastor that, you know, my Bible hovers over my desk and I glow in the dark with this supernatural ability. But the truth of it is I don't. In fact, years ago, when I first got saved, I was a UPS driver. Man, I was going on my route, and I was telling everybody about Jesus, anybody and everybody. If they stopped long enough, I was going to tell them about Jesus and what he had done for me. And, you know, I mean, I had one of my friends that was a UPS driver, and I remember him telling me one time, he said, man, I wished I was bold in my faith like you are. And it didn't dawn on me, you know. But then, if you fast forward just a few years, here we are in our church in Borger, and we got a new pastor, and my pastor, he wanted to go out and knock doors in the neighborhood, and he said, hey, come go with me, and I okay, you know. And so I went with him, and I watched him as he would go to these strangers' doors, and he'd knock on the door, and he'd begin to tell them about Jesus and share his faith with them boldly. And I remember that, and I also remember the time when he turned around and he looked at me and said, okay, this next one is yours. And I'm like, what? And then he had, this next one's yours. And he's like, you know, all you got to do is you got to pray when you go to the door. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And I'm going to tell you, I prayed. I prayed that nobody would be at home. I said, why? Because I was afraid. I was afraid. Yeah, I'm just being honest with you, you know. But why is it that we're not more bold in our witness and in spirit? I think because most of us are just simply afraid. But I want to show you something that I've seen in this additional verse here in our text today. Because I want you to see that in this scripture, there was an instant, a moment, if you will, that transformed these disciples from being scared and afraid to being bold and courageous. And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at verse 19, okay? Let's look at it again. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus, the man who died 3 days earlier, the man that was put in the tomb, all right? Jesus was standing there among them. And I love what he says. He says, peace be with you. He's like, hey, guys, didn't I tell you? Did you forget? I'm coming back. Like, what are you worried about? What are you afraid about? But I want us to see that all of a sudden, in a moment, in an instant, these guys went from being scared and afraid and being self-centered to being bold and courageous and being evangelistic. And it's the one instant that these guys had in their life where they went from being behind locked doors to the next moment being outside preaching boldly. And it's because they knew that Jesus had been resurrected. They finally get and they finally see that Jesus is resurrected. I mean, when we look at this, you see Peter here in our scripture. I mean, he was the biggest coward of all of them, I think, because he shied away from the little girl, remember, when he said, I don't know Jesus. He denied him 3 times. And here's Peter, after knowing that Jesus did come back and that he is resurrected, that he is alive and well, he gets this boldness inside of him. And we see that he starts preaching an amazing and powerful message where he says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. And he's out there and he's just, I mean, you can't shut this guy up. And the religious leaders, they see this and they get scared of him. And so they arrest him and then they put him in jail. And we see that Peter is still preaching. He may be in jail, but you can't shut him up. And the story goes on. It says that then the high priest, a guy named Annas. And okay, we got to stop right here for just a minute. Last week we had Dorcas. This week we have Annas, and my fourth grade mind just wants me to go to make some more jokes. But so, all right, here we go. I got to get back to it. So we had this high priest named Annas, and he's the high priest, and he says, you healed this guy, but by what power and in what name did you do this? And so we see Peter here, and he was the guy who was hiding, and he was earlier denied Jesus 3 times, and here he is. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and the text says this. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all of the people of Israel, man, look at this boldness of him. He says that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What was Peter doing? It was because the tomb was empty, because Jesus was risen, because Jesus had defeated death, hell, and the grave, and now this guy went from being scared and afraid to being bold and courageous for Jesus, all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we know that Jesus was resurrected too, so we can have that same boldness. Amen? So we have to ask ourselves, what can we learn? What can we learn from this? I think that we need to embrace this principle. And if you're taking notes, you may want to write this down. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. For instance, let's say you go to a great restaurant. You go to this restaurant, and man, they got the best enchiladas you ever had. You're in everybody's business. You're like, hey, you got to go to this restaurant. You got to eat it. These enchiladas, they'll make you just feel like you're in another world. Or maybe you get a new pair of shoes and you're like, man, I'm really impressed with the way these things are. Feels like I'm walking on air, you know. Or maybe your kid, like, they make me run faster, you know. Or you get you see this new Netflix show that you really get into, and you're like, man, you got to watch this Netflix series. It's so good. You know, I took the last 3 days off so I could catch up on all three seasons. You know, I mean, we this is what we do. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. And so I have another question. If we're not speaking boldly about our faith for Jesus, do we really believe it deeply? It's a question I've had to ask myself too. If we're not being bold about our faith in Jesus, do we really believe it deeply? Because we speak boldly about what we believe deeply. Peter says it this way. He says, let me tell you about the powerful name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he says this thing here. He's talking about the powerful name of Jesus. If you don't know about the power of Jesus, listen to this. This is scripture. It says, there is salvation in no one else, in no one else. God has given no other name but under heaven by which we must be saved. Verse 13 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary with no special training in Scripture. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, they were amazed at their boldness. And so another question that I have to ask you and ask myself, how amazed are other people about your boldness for Jesus? Think about it for a moment. How amazed are they? And let's take a good quiz really quick. And I had her put me a little deal up here, okay? Got a little scale. And I want you to get this in your head today, okay? Where are you on this scale? Are you unmoved in your boldness? I mean, one is going to be the devil if you're so close to Jesus, a number 10 that, you know, that's Jesus and you're not Jesus, okay? And so where are you on this? How would people say your boldness is? Let me kind of help you figure out where you might be on this scale. If you're saying I'm a 7 or an 8 or 9 somewhere in there, you're probably not sitting alone this morning. You probably have somebody that you invited from work or the gym or school or something like that, and you're not sitting alone right now. You probably have a list of people that you're praying for. That people that need to be healed and people that need other blessings, and so you're praying for two or three people at a time, and you're talking to the people at work about your Savior and about your faith, and you're sharing those things because you're always inviting people. So if that's you, if that's you, then you're probably a 7 or an 8, maybe even a 9 there. Okay? You've got a heart that you want to share the good news with other people. But how do you know if you're lower on the scale, okay? That's a little bit more obvious. You know, you've probably never brought anyone to church. You never invited anyone. You probably don't have a prayer list where you're praying for people. And I'm not trying to down anybody, okay? Just trying to show us where we might be if we think about this question. You see, you don't share your faith at work, maybe. Maybe you're not even sure if the people at work even know that you're a Christian. If that's you, then you're probably lower on that scale. How amazed are people by your boldness for Jesus? You remember how I told you how I had my friend at UPS, that he was amazed at my boldness for Jesus? Let's fast forward to just a few months ago. Just a few months ago, I was in my usual hurry, and I'm in the grocery store, And Shelley can tell you this happens all the time. And I don't know why. It's a weird thing. But I can be standing in line at a grocery store or anywhere, and people just start telling me their life story. They just start sharing their problems. And, you know, I'm divorced. I don't have any money or whatever it is. And it's weird, isn't it, Shelley? I feel like, you know, that movie Santa Claus where Tim Allen sits on the bench and the kids just start coming and sitting on the lap. That's how I feel sometimes. But anyways, I'm standing there, and this guy just starts talking to me. He starts sharing some things, and I could tell that's what he needed. He just needed someone to listen to him. And so I was listening to him the best I could, and then I was thinking to myself, you know, I ought to invite this guy to church. And about that time, the lady started checking out my groceries, and so I started moving up with him, and I didn't want to hold the line up, and I kept thinking, man, you need to invite this guy to church. You need to invite this guy to church. And my spiritual apathy just kicked in, man. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. But all I did is I looked at him and said, man, I'll be praying for you and have a good day. And I walked out and I didn't even. So there I was, spiritual apathy. Years ago, people are amazed by my boldness. And recently, you might be shocked at my spiritual apathy. What would it be for you? How amazed are people by your spiritual boldness? Or would they even be surprised that you know that you're a follower of Jesus? So that raises what I would consider to be one of the most important questions I can ask you today. So if you're a follower of Jesus, and y'all are quiet right now. If y'all are a follower of Jesus, you know, I want you to understand that we're called to go into the world. We're called to be the salt and the light of this world. This is a calling. This isn't just a suggestion. This is what we're supposed to do. But how do we grow in that boldness? How do we do that? I think that I'm going to give you two simple thoughts on it, my simple thoughts. And I want to give them to you from Acts chapter 4. I want us to look at our scripture here. The first way that we become bold is we spend more time with Jesus. What does that mean? That means that we're praying, that we're listening, that we're communicating, we're reading God's word, and we're spending time with Jesus. I want us to look at our example here in verse 13 again. It says, they were amazed by the disciples' boldness, for they could see that they were ordinary with no special training in Scripture. One verse says that they were ordinary and unschooled men. There's a Greek word that's translated for unschooled, and that Greek word is idios. Can you think of what English word comes from that word, right? An idiot. And so I just want you to know, if you've ever felt like you're an idiot, I want you to understand that you're a really good candidate for God to use you. Look at me, right? God specializes in using idiots who's been with Jesus. But I thought it was funny that it says these were ordinary people, just like you, just like me. No training in Scripture. They recognized that they were men who had been with Jesus. It was so recognizable. So what happens when we're followers of Jesus, but we don't spend time with Him? I'll tell you what happens to me. If I don't spend time with Jesus in the morning, any time in the day, if I'm not spending time with Him, I'm just going to tell you that I'm not heavenly minded. I'm more earthly minded. I get consumed by the things of this world. Whenever I don't spend time with Jesus, if somebody cuts me off, I want to start playing bumper cars. Okay? I do. I mean, I'm just like you, right? But I get consumed by the things of this world if I don't spend time with Jesus. But then I find myself, if I don't spend time with Jesus one day, then the next day I don't want to spend time with Him because I didn't the day before. And I get this more of this spiritual apathy that I was talking about. And I don't want to spend time with Him because I've already skipped time with Him the day before. And all that negative spiritual consequences, they just seem to flow out of that. But on the other hand, if I do what I normally do when I get up, if I get up and I get into my word and I begin to spend my first moments praising and praying and lifting up the name of the Lord and get into His word, if I do that, Man, I tell you, that adjusts my attitude away from this selfishness into a selfless attitude where I begin to pray and I pray for people and I bring their prayers and their petitions before the Lord and their situations before God. And sometimes I just be quiet and I listen to God. And so then when I've spent time with God, whenever I walk out of the house and I go out and to do whatever God's calling me to do, I can go out with this divine confidence that God is with me and that His Spirit is going to guide me throughout my day. And suddenly I feel bolder because I've been with Jesus. I've been with Him during the day. And so then I get my spiritual eyes back and I begin to see the opportunities and I can recognize when God places someone in my life that He's wanting me to do something for them and make a difference in their life. And then that increases my faith even more, and I become even more bold. And so the next day I get up and I want to do it again, and I want to do it again, and I want to spend more time with Jesus because I've got this spiritual momentum going within me, and it makes my life just seem so much easier and so much better because I started my day with Him. And so if you want to grow in boldness, it's really simple. You got to spend time with Jesus. Our scripture says that they were amazed by the boldness and they took note of it, it says that they were ordinary, everyday people who had been with Jesus. So what do we do to grow closer to Jesus? You spend time with Jesus, and then the next thing you can do is you ask Jesus to make you bold. You just pray, God, give me boldness to share your goodness. Give me boldness to share your goodness. Can I ask you, when was the last time you asked God to make you bold? When was the last time you said, God, give me boldness? Give me boldness. I want to get back to our text for just a minute. I want us to see here, these religious leaders, they continued to threaten the disciples, didn't they? It says that they put them in jail and they were threatening them with death. Can you imagine if not only you could go to jail for sharing your faith, but you could be killed for it? Can you imagine how bold would you be then? Would you be bold in your faith if you lived in a country where if you shared your faith, maybe even your family would turn against you, or you would be killed for your faith? Be in literal danger because you believe in Jesus? What if that was happening to us? Would we be scared? Would we be hiding behind locked doors? What would we pray for? These are all questions I asked myself this week. Probably something selfish. Probably like, God, keep me safe. God, protect us as we go through our day to day. God, give me a health. Don't let me get sick, Lord. Father, bless my finances. God, me. And we get selfish. But I want us to see what the disciples prayed in this moment where they're in jail and they're being threatened with death. Acts 4:29 says this. It says, "And now, O Lord, hear their hearts and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." You see, they didn't pray. They didn't say, "Lord, keep us safe. Protect us today." They said, "Give us boldness. Make us even more bold in our sharing of your goodness." That was their prayer. See, when we spend time with Jesus, we grow in our boldness. And when we ask Jesus for boldness, He helps strengthen our faith. And so as our minds are being renewed by His Word, as we get into His Word, we start to realize something, don't we? We start to realize that whenever this life is over, there's going to be an eternity. There's going to be a place where people will spend eternity. We get to realize that. People was either going to live in the presence of God in heaven, or they're going to live in a place called eternal damnation. It's a place called hell. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not never been a big fan of this brimstone and fire preaching. But I also want you to know that I got to be true to the Bible. I got to be true to the Bible, and I've got to share with you, and I've got to let you know that there is a place, and it's called hell. And it's called eternal damnation. It's called a place of torment. It's called a place of outer darkness, a place of sorrow. There's what they call indescribable suffering that happens literally day and night in this place called hell. Words can't even begin to describe the horror and the anguish of hell. But in the same way, in the same way, there's another place that our Bible talks about, and it's a place that the beauty can't even begin to be described, the splendor and the dwelling place of God and His people. It's a place that the Bible calls heaven. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says this about heaven. He says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." Man, we can't, yes, amen. We can't dream it up. We can't explain it, can we? You see, John, he was one of the guys who was preaching in our text earlier, and he had a vision of heaven. And he you can read about it in Revelations, and I'm just going to read it for you really quick. Revelations chapter 21, we're going to skip through some verses, 1, and then we're going to go to 3 and through 6, but stick with me, all right? He says, this is John's vision of heaven. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared." Verse 3, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'It is finished.'" He says, yes. He says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Man, come on. The beauty of heaven that God has prepared for us, we can't describe it. We can't comprehend it. You see, though, we speak boldly about what we believe deeply. A timid and fearful faith, it just doesn't reach the lost and the hurting and the broken world, does it? We've got to have a bold faith, a bold witness, because we speak boldly about what we do believe deeply. Stand with me if you would. Would you play me some music, please? Man, how I wished I could go back to all the times that I had spiritual apathy and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Say this or do that or do this." And I did my own thing. Man, how I wished I could go back. But what I do want us to remember, though, today is that there are people in our life right now that we love who don't know the love and the grace of Jesus. They don't know. And right now, it's not too late for them. It's not too late for them. But one day it will be. One day it will be. And so I just want to encourage you, we cannot be afraid. We can't be hiding behind locked doors. We can't let our witness just be inside this building. We've got to take it out to those that are lost and hurting and need Jesus. And we've got to be bold about it. We can't be afraid that we're going to say the wrong thing or they're going to ask us a question that we don't know. Let me tell you, I'm a pastor and people ask me questions all the time that I don't know. And that's my go-to phrase. I don't know. There's no shame in not knowing. We're not perfect. We don't know everything. But sometimes we get so hung up in it. Oh, man, what if they laugh at me? What if I don't know what to say? And we get so afraid that we don't do it. Let me ask you a better question. What's going to happen if we don't? If we don't get bold and go outside these doors and not only serve like we have been, but we got to start being bold and open up our mouth and share the word that Jesus lays in our heart. We got a world around us and they're lost and they're dying. And they don't even know it. Some of them, they don't even know it. And here we are, we're cozy. And I'm not mad at any of us. This is to me. We come in here, we're cozy. Oh, that's great. I can speak boldly about my faith in here. Bold for Jesus today. My hand is raised. If you want to be bold for Jesus, raise your hand. Just raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want to be bold for you. Make me bold. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough that you trust me to go out to be your hands, your feet, your voice, your eyes. God, make me like you. Help us to be like you. Give us boldness, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.